There's nothing more that I would like to do this morning is just share with you my heart and the Word of God that in itself can redeem and change us. So let's just go to the Lord. Father, thank you for your life, your death, your resurrection. But Lord, most of all, you in us right now. Right now, your ability to enable us to walk in this life, live in this life, Lord, through the trials, through the tribulations, glorifying you no matter what, because you are able. We just seek you this morning. Reveal to us your word, O God, and enable us to have ears, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us. We know it's precious. Amen. All right, well, open with me to John chapter 8. I'm going to start in a very familiar scripture, John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, they believed him. He said to them, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If we look at this scripture, I believe this is the scripture of a motto in the Christian life. It comes with an if and ends with a great promise. If we will continue in his word. And then he's going to bless us in our lives. Very simple. You know, we make it complicated sometimes, but life is very simple in Christ. It's very simple. It's not a difficult thing for us to walk with God and God speak to us. The complicated part is when we try to filter it in our minds and try to figure things out and try to make things the way we think they should be. And we're all guilty of that, right? Because we're human. And God knows that. That's the beautiful part. And he's made that way. And that way is repentance. Why is repentance a dirty word? Even in Christianity, it sounds like, oh gosh, I mean, you had to repent? When it should be, oh, how wonderful. Because it gives birth to the Word of God in our lives. And Jesus was making a promise to those that had believed in him. A promise. If you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples. This is what makes you a disciple of mine. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. So in just considering that, I need a couple volunteers. Can I get anyone that would give me a hand there? Thank you. Now, these are difficult questions, so if you have to take your time, that's all right. You can call a friend or phone home if you need to. How many eighths are in an inch? If you need help, I've got a tape measure. How many? 8/8 in an inch. Anybody agree with him? You sure? Not sure if I want to believe you, but okay. All right. How many inches are in a foot? 12. Anybody go for that too? 12? Okay. How many feet are in a yard? 3 feet. Anybody going for that one too? Not as many takers, obviously. Once we get to the big things, you know. What if I told you there's only 6/8 in an inch? All right? You okay with that? Okay? No, you're wrong. That's my truth. My truth is that there's only 6/8 in an inch. And guess what? 10 inches in a foot. That's it. That's it. And I don't care what you have to say, it's true. It's now become my truth, and so my truth can be your truth. Would you like it? I would like to be your carpenter today. Yes. I didn't build this building, but I can do some additions. And somehow it's going to be cheaper for me. Because my truth is I have a different idea of what an inch is and what a foot is and what a yard is. I'm sure you understand where I'm going with this. Because here Jesus gives us a promise. He says, if you know my truth, my measurement of truth, if you know it, it'll make you free. Because it's alive. God's word is alive. It's true. It's able to transform our thinking. But in this world, we have something that's called variable truth, right? And the world pushes upon God's word and says, well, stealing is only stealing. You're not hungry. And I always say, well, why don't you just ask instead of just steal? And the world says, It's okay to do certain things if you just feel like you need to. It's overwhelming. Let me tell you what real love is. Let me give you an example. We have all these ideas of variable truth, yet God's word is so simple and is so true, but we stray from that. Have you ever tried the one, you know, how many have you ever, I want you to be honest, one more volunteer? No. How many of you ever got a speeding ticket? Do you keep your hands down? I was joking. Boy, I tell you what, there's some speeders in this church. Well, glad you got here today. Have you ever heard the one where a police officer comes up and he says, "You know how fast you were going?" Why do they ask that? He pulled you over because you were speeding, but he wants to ask you to see what you say, right? And you say, yeah, I believe I was going 70. Well, do you know this is a 50-mile-an-hour zone? My 70 is a 50, officer. My speedometer says, when I see 70, it means 50. How would that go over with him? Well, Mark Twain said this, "Never miss a good opportunity to shut up." You ever heard that one? If you're married, you understand that quote. But we do accept different measurements, don't we, when we stray from the Word of God? We accept different ideas of relationships. We accept different understandings of what is true. We accept these things, even though we know God's Word says this is truth. The measurement that God has given us is always right, always true. But the world comes in upon us and says, "No, I've got a new measurement. And you need to adapt to my measurement." In Galatians chapter 4, 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Galatian church. And he says this, "Where then is that sense of blessing you had?" He's talking about himself, that sense of blessing you had for me and for yourself. "For I bear witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me." That's some pretty extreme love for Paul. He said, "But now I have become your enemy by telling you the truth, God's truth." How many of you have become enemies of people by telling them the truth of God? Well, that's some pretty good enemies to have. If you're to have an enemy, they've made an enemy of you because of one thing, because you're a disciple of God's truth. What Jesus said in the very beginning here. So Paul at one time had shared the Word of God to the Galatians, and then all of a sudden, since he continued to speak the truth and they strayed from the truth, they made up their variable truth. Now he said, "Now I'm your enemy instead of your father in the faith. You won't stand with me because you've walked away from God." Now we're all in that same understanding, aren't we, of how we want to draw to the Lord, keep in step with the Lord, abide in His truth. But how can we do it without hearing the Word of God daily? Since the only way we can have faith is through His Word. And the only way we can please God is to hear His Word. You wouldn't have noticed, but there's a number of guys that come to our house, to the outreach center every week, and some of them are Muslim men. And so we invite them into our house and Tina makes a meal and we just treat them like our sons. And through the process of that, we've met a lot of young men, and two of these Muslim men have really drawn close to us. He's from Nigeria, and his brother, who came to know the Lord and then ended up in prison, when he came from Nigeria to visit his brother in prison, Tina and I took him there. And his brother said he was a Christian. So it was a very interesting situation. So along the way, we're going to prison, and we've known him for a couple weeks at the most. And he's like, "Who are these people?" We're driving about an hour to the prison, and we came back, and we got to know him. And I let him know what the Bible said about Islam. And I thought, wow, he probably is not going to want to be around us anymore. I said, "Tina, that's probably it, you know." And then the next day he knocks on the door and he comes in and he gives me a hug. I'm like, wow, it's more than Greg did. But over the years now, has struggled between Christianity and Islam. And so his dad's a Muslim, so he practices Islam. And just not too long ago, he's doing the Ramadan, 40 days of fasting for Islam. And they fast while the sun is up. Then when the sun's down, they stop. And I call it sundown. They call it Ramadan. I call it ram it down, because they're eating as much as they can so that they're not hungry the next day. Usually, you know, they show it in the grocery store sales go way up during Ramadan when they should be going down because they're fasting. So calls me one day on the phone, and he said, Steve, he said, can you do me a favor? And I said, sure, what is it? He said, well, I just need a favor. I just need you to pray for me. And I said, okay. I didn't ask him what it was all about. I just said, okay, I'll pray for you. And I thought, wow, now I can pray whatever I want for him. So I started praying, and I started in the name of Jesus, and he said, amen. So after I got done praying, I didn't see him for about a week. He came over, and we're all eating, the guys, and we're all eating. And as we're eating, I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder what happened. And I want to ask him, you know. I'm trying to ask. And then he says, he looks at me in front of everybody, and he says, well, I suppose you'd like to know what happened. I said, yeah, sure, go ahead if you want to talk about it. So he said, I was breaking my fast at a pizza place, and I was outside waiting for my pizza to be made. And there was this man in the car, and I noticed him because I guess he was waiting for his pizza too, he said. But he kind of was looking at me, and he walked up, and then he went back in his car, and he sat there. And then he walks up again a few minutes later, and he said to me, he said, I want to tell you something that God told me to tell you. And he looked at him and he said, I told him, he said, I'm sorry, I don't know you. And he said, yeah, I know, but God knows you. So it doesn't matter. He said, okay. So he said, he told me, you're not where you should be. You're far from God. And he went on to tell about the things that were happening in his life. And I believe he's only interested because of the truth of the Lord that he's heard when he comes every now and then. Everything else is Islam. And he comes to do weights at the outreach center. That's the main reason why he comes. Other guys are doing weights, he's doing weights, and so we're listening to Christian music, and we're talking about the Bible, and so he hears about it. And so I said, well, yeah, well, what happened? He said, at the end, he said to me, after he was telling me all this, he said, you need to call a pastor that you know and ask him to pray for you. And that's when he called. He said, Steve, well, you know, I need you to do me a favor. Will you pray for me? I said, so was he right? Were you far from God? Are you far from God? He said, yeah, I believe so. I said, well, what do you think? What are you going to do about it? You know, sometimes we just get to that point. And I'm not just talking about being lost. I'm talking about knowing the Lord. We just stop short of repentance. We just stop short of walking closer to the Lord and feeling and enjoying the presence of the Lord. It's beautiful. Jeremiah said, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight, the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. God is the God of the hosts, everything we see. And he has such an unbelievable plan for us, doesn't he? Such joy and purpose in our lives. In the rain, in the darkness, or in the light, it doesn't matter. What does it matter when we have the God of hosts? Go to John chapter 18 with me. John chapter 18, 37 and 38. Here, Pilate thinks he has Jesus in handcuffs. Pilate thinks, you know, he's got this guy. The Jews don't like him, so now he can kind of feel more authority and importance. And they're wanting to kill Jesus or have Jesus crucified for one reason, because he claims to be the king of the Jews. And so Pilate said to him, so you are king? You're a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now you would think that would be enough to jar someone. You have been born to testify of the... What is the truth then? But he didn't say what is the truth. He said what is truth. I like to equate that with the word that at one time was used, still used some. Whatever, whatever. You know, you talk to somebody about something you think is important, they, whatever. And I believe that's what Pilate was saying. What is truth? Truth is variable. So he's like, okay, that's your truth. Even if you are the king of the Jews and you are the one who it bears witness to the truth because you are the way, the truth, and the life. But he said, whatever. Why? Because Pilate had no room for anything else in his life. He had no truth. He felt he knew it all. And you know, as Christians, we can become like that too. We can think, this is all I can handle. You know, I'm doing what I can, God. What do you expect from me? Well, he expects everything. He expects all of us. He wants everything. And Pilate later says to Jesus, in the next chapter, he says, don't you know I have the power? I have the authority to crucify you? And you know what Jesus said. He said, you have no authority. None over me unless it has been given from above. I mean, that should be unbelievable rapture of joy for us to hear. Because nothing can happen when we're walking with God especially, but nothing can happen even when we're not. God loves us so much, His loving kindness and mercy surrounds us. But when we're seeking the Lord, there is more confidence and joy and purpose and stance in life than anything this world can throw at us, because the God of hosts is the authority over all that. He's the one that directs everything else on this earth. And the more we hear the Word of God, the more we understand that. And the more joy we have, the more delight, like Jeremiah said, I heard your Word and I ate it. We got to get to that eating part. And just not hearing, the doing part, the walking in it. And that's why Jesus said, if you actually want to be my disciples, you not only have to believe, you have to continue in my Word, and you will find this joy, you'll find this peace. I'm only sharing with you what God is doing in my life. So if you're hearing any of this and it's affecting your heart, praise the Lord. But it's God's Word. Jesus said in John chapter 6, 38, he says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus was sent to do the Father's bidding. And that's it. And if we looked at how many times Jesus said, not my will be done, but thine, even in his prayers to the Father. Yet we live in a world that says, I've got things I want to do, right? I'm a somebody and I'm going to do what I want to do. I have my rights, right? I have my right. You know, I have my freedom. Yet the greatest freedom that any of us can have is the will of God in our lives and to settle our hearts in that. Here Jesus came to this earth and showed us how to do it. To just do not his own will, but the will of him who sent me. In John chapter 14, he says, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. So it's his commission or his purpose. Exactly the will of God. That's mentioned 63 times in the Gospels. The will of God, the commission or the purpose without any delay. It actually means God's best offer to us, his will. Is his best offer. I'll take the second offer, what we settle for a lot. But it doesn't come with a must. God's will comes with our permission. So it can be accepted or it can be rejected. It's our choice, God's will. Jesus chose it. He said, I do exactly, exactly. Go to one last scripture with me. Mark chapter 4. While you're turning there, I want to share with you this story that happened. We never know who's going to come through the doors when we have our midweek Bible study. And, you know, there's so many nationalities in England. It's just amazing. Very little English is spoken. So we open the doors one Wednesday night and we're sitting there and this guy walks in. after about 5 minutes. And he's got long hair down to here, and he's obviously not from England. And he's just standing there, and I walked up and said, "Hey, my name's Steve." And I'm thinking, oh, he thinks this is still a pub. He's waiting for a pint. So I said, "I just want to let you know this is not a bar anymore. You can see there's no taps, you know, but, you know, if you want." He said, "Oh, I know. It's a Bible study." I said, "Oh, okay." And so he's standing there looking at the door, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to find out what story he's got here. So he was a Romanian, from Romania, lived just down the street. And I said, "Are you waiting for somebody?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, let me just explain what happened." He said, "Last night I got up. You know, I usually stay up pretty late," really, which most people, when they say that, they mean early in the morning. He said, "About 12:30, he said, I just got up and decided to walk around, and I walked. I lived a little bit away, and I walked, and I got to the front of the pub," he said, and you know, it's rounded like this. It takes up two streets that meet, so it's big and rounded, has scriptures all in. He said, "I started walking, and I'm walking, and then I just was looking, and I saw a scripture on the chalkboard." He said, "Then I looked up, and I saw the scriptures that are written across the side, and I could not believe it." He said, "I was taking it in. It was just affecting me." And he said, "Man, I was getting so excited while I read, and I'm reading and the scriptures as I'm walking around the building." And he said, "What I didn't know is there's another guy on the other side of the building that was standing there reading the scriptures, and we bumped into each other." It was the first time we met. I said, "Really?" And I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty amazing. God's word can do that. So he said, we bumped into each other, and he said, "Hey, hi." And this is a Romanian, long-haired Romanian meeting about a 60-year-old Nigerian man. And he said, I said, "Really? Well," he said, "yeah, he lives about a half a mile away." And he lived about a half a mile away, very far away, actually, to try to get to where our building is. And he said, this Romanian woke up, you know, at 12 o'clock at midnight and didn't want to wake up his wife. So he got out of bed and he said, he felt like God just said, just go out and walk around and want to speak to you. So he was on the other side. He got to that building and he started reading, and then they knocked into each other. And I said, "Wow, that's pretty amazing." And then he walks in the door, this man. They sat down and we had a good Bible study. The power of God's word can transform us if we want it to. God wants our permission. He's saved us. He's made us whole. And he wants us to make us whole again and again and again. He's prepared forgiveness. But repentance has to prelude that. And it's a beautiful thing to say, "I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, Tina." It has to come in our lives. If it doesn't, we can't grow closer to God. It's impossible. But the Word of God makes that way. His grace leads us in that. So Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, verse 23, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued, "with the measure." So I got this measuring tape. Remember how we started here. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." What's he talking about? The Word of God that can transform us. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more." God always has more with His Word. Adds unto us life. Now let's be honest. If we were honest, we think and say and do things we would never tell anyone we're ashamed of, right? Or is it just me? Well, I bear witness to the Word of God that it's all of us. We would never tell anyone that, yet we can tell God because He already knows, right? And He's waiting for us to just admit it each time. And then He sets us free. The truth sets us free, not deeds of the flesh, which we would like to. Well, I saw some things in the Philippines, you know, on the knees for half a mile and they're bloody. And they felt like they got right with God because of that. The deeds, and we're at war, right? But the real good fight is the fight of faith. trusting God's word to deliver us over and over again. And Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, consider this. Consider it. With the measure you use my word, of my truth, it will be measured back to you and more. I was jogging in the park. I'm going to end with this. I was jogging in the park a few months ago, and it's a big park about a mile around, just 2 minutes from our. And I'm jogging, and I came up to this beautiful sight in the park. It was a beautiful day, you know, and there they were, a groom and the bride standing in the middle of the park getting pictures. They just got married. And, you know, white flowing dress and, you know, the guy in a tuxedo and I'm running by the park on the path and they're by the trees and the grass and they have three photographers and one filming, you know, it's just a beautiful event. I was, oh, that's beautiful, Lord. And I ran by and I couldn't help it, you know, the introvert I am. I yelled out, what a beautiful marriage in Christ. You know, what do I got to lose? So I get a few more jogs down and I hear somebody yell, thank you. Amen. Thought, whoa, that's an encouragement. I'll take that. So I'm going to run back by there again around the park. And I said immediately in my heart, I said, Lord, if they're still there, I want to walk up to them and talk to them about you. Keep them there, Lord, if you want them to want me to share. What kind of stupid question, huh? Of course, God's going to keep them there, right? So, you know, as I get older, my mind gets sharper. And so within about 5 minutes, I forgot I even said that. And so I get back around and then I see them in the distance and I remember it. Oh, yeah. So I jog up and I'm in this headband. I got this headband and there's a picture on the back. And it says, Jesus is Savior, in big letters. And I'm all sweaty, you know, and short. And I just felt, man, I knew it was the Lord's will. So I just went right up to them. And I jogged up to them. And they didn't go, hey, sick, you know, come on. Hey, we're taking pictures here, you know. They just smiled. And I walked up to them and said, hey, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And they said, sure. I said, do you believe this? Jesus the Savior. And the guy said, yeah. And they, you know, shook her head. And it was his name was Edward and her name was Ida. And I started sharing with them how important it is for a marriage to be based on the truth of God. Without that, a marriage will end up dead. Without that, it will be works. Without that, it will be something that just happens. And you will drift apart. And I told Edward, you know how you need to be a godly leader? You know, treating your wife with gentleness. Christ, the church. Do you understand that? And he's agreeing with me about 5 minutes later. So I decided, well, I'm going to ask them if they've been born again, if they know the Lord. And so I asked, let me stop here. I said, Edward, have you ever been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever repented of your sins and asked him to be your authority in life? And he said, yes, I have. And I looked at Ida and I said, Ida, have you? And she went, no, not yet, but I would like to. I said, man, what a day. You get married and you become the bride of Christ in the same day. She said, okay. So we grabbed hands and we prayed. And Ida, you know, I mean, she was crying. And, oh, it was just a beautiful time. But it was the truth of God that she believed and was set free. And what was so beautiful is before I ran off, because we were open in the center and I had to get back, the three guys that were filming said, hey, wait a minute. We're all three evangelists, and we've been wanting to talk to Ida about the Lord, but we didn't know how to do it. Can you do some kind of evangelistic? I said, hey, man, I just was running by, and God told me to do it. You know, I gave them my email, and they sent me the picture, and it's back there, and it's beautiful how God touches our hearts. Let's pray. Oh, God, Father, I know we have to understand something so important in our lives in order to walk with you, that Father God, as you said in Corinthians, we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Oh God, we're not our own. You bought us with your life, oh God. You have redeemed our soul, oh God. And we desire to seek you in every area of our life, to hear your word, to be set free, and to be, Lord, set at one again with You. Lord, atone us of our sins once again this morning. And I pray that if there's anyone here that has never come to know Christ like Ida didn't, right now is your opportunity. If that's your understanding, you know, oh, I've done good things. I've tried to do better things, but I've never experienced, never tasted the freedom that there is in Jesus Christ. I've never understood that He bought my soul upon the cross. If I believe, I will be set free. I will be forgiven. I will be at liberty because His truth can set me free. His blood that He shed upon the cross paid the price for my sins. I've never understood that. Now, today, I want that. If that's you, don't miss this opportunity. I want you to lift up your hands, and we're just going to pray. If you desire Christ in your life today, like Ida did, just lift up your hand and put it back down. Thank You, Father. Oh, Lord, You know those that just, Lord, acknowledge. Father, we just lift them up to You, oh God. Father God, be their Savior. Let them cry out even now to You to become their God and their Savior. That You, O God, have come to this earth for the single purpose of saving just them, if it be just them. Lord, that's Your love. And I pray You'd just touch them even now as they repent of their sins, as they cry out to You in their hearts. Lord, You hear the heart. It doesn't have to be audible words. Lord, You hear our groanings. You hear our hurts. You understand everything, O God. Now heal us, O God. Bring us at one with You once now. Again, oh God, in our life. And bless those that wanted that. We thank You, Father, for Your word today, this morning. Amen.